Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our subject, the saving ministry of the Lord. And once again, we'll be reading the portion of Scripture that tells of the saving ministry of Christ as a theme. And that is found in Matthew, or rather, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4 and verse 16. Here we read, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book," it was a roll, of course, "he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Isaiah was writing of the Lord Jesus, and he quoted this scripture that applied to himself and his saving ministry. Now, did you notice that the first ministry of the Lord was to save us from our sins? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." This, I think, is such a great deliverance, such a great joy, that we lose sight of the fact of the rest of the verse, because it's all the saving ministry of Christ. Now, when we read the rest of the verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. These are saving ministries. He saves us from a broken heart. He saves us from captivity. He saves us from blindness. He saves us from bruising. This is a part of the saving ministry of our Lord Jesus, as well as the salvation of sin in our souls. That, of course, looms the largest. That begins the whole series in the matter of our personal experience, of course. Now today, we're going to take up the third study, to preach deliverance to the captives. And now, let's see who the captors are. If we're captives, we've got to have a captor. All right? We're going to develop these two captors, first of all, to see how the trouble started. And those captors are sin and Satan. There's an alliteration there that hisses. Sin and Satan. All right. Now we're going to go into this and see how we were made captives in the result of sin. Now in Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they are put in that beautiful garden with only one restriction. We read that in the second chapter of Genesis, verse 17. Well, verse 16, really. "For the Lord God commanded man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now we go to the beginning of the third chapter of Genesis, and we read there, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" Now the serpent, who is this serpent? Well, it's Satan. He is called a serpent in the 12th chapter of Revelation. That old serpent, the devil. That is who it is. All right, Satan appears on the scene in the Garden of Eden, and he talks to Eve alone. "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree of the, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. What arrogance is this, telling her that she won't die when God says that she would? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, the arrogance of Satan! The serpent said unto the woman, Thou shalt not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. Now somebody says, well, Satan was right, wasn't he? He said, ye shall not surely die. He was wrong in the very worst way. They died spiritually. And spiritual death is worse than physical death. They died spiritually. God said they die. They died. Because he came down into the garden to fellowship with them, and they hid themselves from God. Satan had driven a wedge. He had brought sin and captivated Adam and Eve through sin, if you please. And here they are in this desperate state. Now, you notice, please, that Satan said, and the woman saw the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, these are the three things that are in the world today. In the second chapter of the first epistle to John, John tells us that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things, Satan threw them all at Eve. And she saw it, and she fell for it. And she fell, and the human race fell with her. Oh, what a tragedy. So we are now under the control of both Satan and sin, because sin will keep us from doing the things of God. We read, for instance, in the seventh chapter of the book of the Roman, well, it's the Roman Epistle, Roman Epistle chapter 7, verse 15. We read these words, For that I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. I'm going to read that again. For that which I do, I allow not. Paul says, I'm doing things that I don't want to do. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. What is this? It's Paul's struggle with that old nature that seeks after Satan, is captivated by Satan, to which Satan can appeal to. Oh, what a cruel grasp he has upon us, to appeal to us through that fallen nature. And now, and then Paul says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. And Paul is miserable. But boy, before we get to the end of the chapter, he brightens up. He says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, that old sinful nature? And then in verse 25 he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that when with the mind I may serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now here we are, we've got the two captors, sin and Satan, and they have been instilled by the work of Satan. He instilled in their hearts the sinful nature that militates against the fellowship with God, because right in the same chapter, God comes down in the cool of the day to fellowship with Adam and Eve, and they hid themselves. A wedge had been driven. Now let's talk about our deliverance. Our deliverance from sin is found in Romans chapter 6. And the sin that he's speaking of here is that sin that separates us from God. He says in verse 1, "What shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now a dead man does not sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, that old sinful nature, is crucified with him." Now, when Christ died on the cross for our sins, he took care of the fruit of that old nature. We died with Christ in the mind of God. We died with Christ on that cross, and that takes care of the root. The dead man does not sin, but we are alive to God now through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is our deliverance through the death of Christ. We died with Christ. But we died with him in the mind of God who takes care of that root of evil. Now God wants us to side in with him. As far as God is concerned, that old nature is dead. We got new life when we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we got it. And we got deliverance from Satan and from that old sinful nature in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a new person that controls our lives now, and that's the Lord. One last verse that we're going to read, James chapter 4 and verse 7. "Submit yourselves there to God. Resist the devil and he will flee you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee you." You see, it's a matter now. Are we going to yield to God with a new nature? Or are we going to yield to Satan with that old evil nature? God help us to yield to God, our Father. Today we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we died, and for whom he died for us to take away our sins. Help us to appreciate what he did on that cross more and more. In his name, amen.